I want us today to talk about the other side of Christmas. Now, you might entitle this the dark side of Christmas. And somebody said, well, I'm going to leave here so depressed. It's just going to be terrible to leave here. That's not the intent of this. The intent is to help us focus and get an understanding of what's happening in America and what's happening in our lives, and really what we can do at this time of the year in order to be able to manifest what God wants us to be in just in our lives. Is this a happy time? I want you to think of the joys of this holiday season. Think about how different the last 2 weeks, the last 3 weeks of your life has been. Been really, really different. You've been behaving differently. You've been doing things that you would not have done. And it is likely that in many respects you've had more smiles on your face than at other times. I stand here right now and I see just almost an ocean of red out over here. There's more red here than you normally see. Why is that? It's because of this time of the year. And there are the joys that come from this time of the year, and we need to be appreciative of it, do we not? As we think about the joys of this time of the year, we need to think of the joy that we need to have because people are talking more about Jesus than any other time of the year. I'm not sure exactly why that is. I'm not sure everything that is involved in that. But think about all of the times and how many times you hear the name Jesus being mentioned. Those expressions about putting Christ back in Christmas and Jesus is the reason for the season. And then all of the programs that you watch on television, why, they're just more reference to Jesus made this time of the year than any other time. You know, the reality was, what if he'd not been born? What if I ever talked about him? You and I need to be appreciative of the fact that as a nation, that at this time of the year, that we find the joy of this time of the year. Now, we don't know the date of the origin of Christmas. I find it remarkable that if you'll go home and Google this or pick up an encyclopedia, you'll find that the earliest reference to the expression Christmas, Christ Mass, comes out of Catholicism. And the earliest written record of it is from about 1020 or 25, right at that period of time. It's the first time that expression is used. And so we do not know the origin of it. We do know this. We do know this, that he winter wasn't born at this time of the year. There's all kinds of reasons for understanding that. And we'll talk more about this a little bit later in the lesson. But we don't know where it came from. We just know that in biblical times, nobody celebrated the birth of Jesus. When the church started, nobody was celebrating the birth of Jesus. And yet, think about this time of the year, how many people are involved in this. You see, while the date of it is not certain, we are thinking more about it. There are people today who will darken the doors of church buildings who only come two or three times a year. Is it Mother's Day and Easter and Christmas that folks show up? And, you know, and just in case you miss the next service, I want to wish you a happy Easter. Do you understand? You know, and I find it remarkable, do you not, that Jesus is the reason for the season, and yet many churches are not even meeting today. I find that unbelievably remarkable that here we are to focus on Jesus, and in the religious world, there are churches who are not even meeting today. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with that. I'm not able to put my finger on it, but that just doesn't sound right, you know, that we would neglect the worship of Jesus. We'll talk a lot about him being in the manger, and we will think about it, and yet, no, we're not going to worship God. I just don't understand everything that's involved in that. You may be able to explain it to me, but I just cannot begin to think about it. You know, and go back to that point. Imagine if he had not been born. Aren't you glad he was born? In spite of the fact that some have gone too far in perhaps the celebrating of the birth of Jesus, aren't you glad he was born? I find it remarkable the ignorance that people have of this. You know, you may not be aware of it. The Bible doesn't talk about three wise men. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not. That's a part of this thing that comes along after the Bible and all of these stories that people made up. And in that Christmas pageant, you know, that sometimes is presented by some, you'll have the shepherds to come in. And then right after the shepherds get there, in spite of the fact the Bible says they immediately left, they had to get back to their sheep. It was a work day for them. You got to understand that. And the Bible talks about that when the wise men came, it might have been at least a year later, perhaps as much as 2 years later, when they came and Jesus wasn't in the stable, there was in a house. Isn't that remarkable? But in spite of all of the misunderstanding, aren't you thankful today that Jesus was born? I believe every one of us can find joy and love the fact that Jesus is born. I want to ask you this. Do you find joy in giving and receiving gifts? Now, I didn't say that this is multiple choice. Do you find joy in giving or receiving? That wasn't the point that I was trying to make. But isn't it special that at this time of the year that there is the blessings of giving? Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And by the way, did you see that commercial this year where in the commercial the lady said to her husband, you know, well, it's more blessed to receive than to give. Isn't that remarkable? How in spite of all that the Bible talks about this, there is the blessing in giving. And you and I need to have an appreciation of that. Give to him that has not, you see, and we need to understand that. That there is a blessing that comes to us in the giving of these gifts. Many of you have sacrificed because you love people. Isn't that remarkable? Is there any more wonderful expression of love than the remembrance of some individual and giving them a gift that is really thought out? I remember years ago hearing a woman talking about her husband, how good he was at giving gifts. I mean, she said probably the best gift he ever bought me was a dictionary. He had no imagination at what he bought. In fact, that husband, every time he'd go on a business trip, he wouldn't bring back a gift. And so she invented the business fairy. That whenever he'd go on a trip, she'd go out and shop, and when he'd come back in, the business trip fairy had visited the house and bought her a gift. And so she loved the... But is there anything that means more than a gift that somebody's really thought? You know what I'm talking about. Maybe, perhaps not this year, perhaps not even in the giving, but perhaps in the receiving of that. Do you not find the joy of giving and receiving? And do we not see in that the wonderful expression of love that comes in these gifts? That's one of the joys of this time of the year. And then there's just the joy of seeing happiness in other. I don't know what your experience has been, but generally this type of season, people are a little bit more friendly than they are at other times. There's just something about it that it is a happy time of the year. And in spite of the fact that there's all that rush down at the shopping places, in many places people are kinder to you when you go into shop. Other times of the year, but right now they seem to be helpful. You can come in, you can go in and say, I need some help. Well, let me help you find this. What do you need? Let me help you this. There is that happiness. And then there is that joy of just getting families together. Is that the best part of Christmas? You think about the remembrance that you have of family spending times together. Think about perhaps this weekend you will experience it. Perhaps you have great memories in the past of times when the family came together. And isn't it remarkable that this is the time of the year when we talk more to family members than any other time? It is really, really remarkable. Received a phone call just driving to the building this morning from my sister. I don't believe she's ever called me on a Sunday morning before. She calls me a lot, but never on a Sunday morning before. And when I said hello, her immediate words were, "Merry Christmas." Now, that won't mean a lot to you, except you go back 65 years ago when Mom and Dad says you cannot get up before daylight. Mom and Dad were in the back bedroom, and Dot and Barbara, my sisters, were in sort of the middle bedroom, and Jerry and I were in the bedroom at the front of the house. And Jerry and I developed a tradition that the first inkling of daylight we could see, we'd start shouting out to the top of our voice, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." And that tradition is so great, it's sort of a family thing. That, you know, Jerry died, what was it, last year, about 14 or 15 months ago? And that I'd call him 5:30 on Sunday morning and shout Merry Christmas to him, even at 65 years of age. See, that's the joy of this time. But the reality is, there's another side to this. There's another side to this. Because this is not necessarily a time of great joy to everybody. Let's talk about the other side of Christmas. The other side is the wrong kind of attention being paid to Jesus. Think about that. The wrong kind of attention. In the big picture, how important is His birth compared to His life and His resurrection and His coronation in heaven? Would you think about that? Here America is focused on the birth of Jesus, and we're really excited about the birth of Jesus. But in the big picture, do you know, without His life and His teachings and without His resurrection, that story about the manger and that story about the shepherd and the story about the wise men, without the resurrection and His ascension into heaven, that's just the story about the birth of some man. But His resurrection and His ascension in heaven, where the angels crowned Him, as it were, when He arrived there and He received power and dominion and a kingdom which should never be destroyed. That's what this is all about. See, the tragedy is, people don't understand that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love baby Jesus, but we don't have a whole lot of use for Lord Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? You want to see the other side of Christmas? Think of people who love baby Jesus who have no respect for Lord Jesus. And you can make all kinds of applications of this, but the reality is, if baby Jesus does not become Lord Jesus, then to pay attention to baby Jesus is sort of meaningless. Think of the people who are living in immorality today. Think of the people today who will be as dishonest as they can be in business tomorrow. Think of people today who have hate and bitterness in their heart, and yet sometimes they're the loudest proponents of the celebration of baby Jesus. There's another side to this. And a part of that other side is, why do we need special days? You ever think about that? That passage that was read, Galatians chapter 4, you look at it and here these people who've been pagans had become Christians, and now they had somebody was trying to bring into pure Christianity, as it was established there, the observance of days and weeks and months and years. That's Galatians 4, if you want to look at that again, verse 6 through 11. They'd left all of that pagan thing there, and now they'd become Christian, and now somebody had tried to intermix the observance of days and special festivals that really did not have really were not a part of what they had learned about Christ. And that may be one of the reasons why people ever started celebrating a Mass for Christ this time of the year, when his Christianity in the centuries that followed the spreading of the church reached out into the pagan world. And in the pagan world, there was already a feast that they had in December. December the 22nd, isn't that the shortest day of the year? And there's a new birth of a new year because at this time of the year, the days start getting longer. And so they looked at these pagan festivals and they said, we need to bring from paganism a festival into Christianity. Has nothing at all to do with the fact that there's evidence that Jesus was born in this day, at this time of the year. But there's a pagan feast. Let's just bring it on over here. Why do we need, folks? Why do we need to bring into this book anything that's not found in this book? If we're really serious about being a New Testament church, then we need to really be determined that's what we're going to be. And that's why we pay no special attention to the birth of Jesus and have a reenactment of some festival that has as its root the copying of a paganism and bringing it over into the matter of Christianity. That's not what it's all about. Our sufficiency is in Christ. I want to ask you, as we sang together about praise the Lord, as we sang together hallelujah, praise Jehovah, as we sang together about there is a God and in Him we live and in Him we abide, doesn't that feed your soul and draw you closer to the Lord than anything else? To focus on all there is involved in Christianity. And then there's the sorrow, not the joy of giving, but the sorrow of giving. Isn't it remarkable that by and large, the interest commercially there is in this time of the year has nothing at all to do with baby Jesus, with the birth of Jesus? Isn't that remarkable? And then you stop and think about how in the matter of giving, there is the envying of the fact that somebody got this and I didn't get it. And then there is the covetousness that says, I want to have it and I'm going to do everything I can in order to get it. And then there is the hypocrisy of giving gifts you don't even want to give. That's the other side of this time of the season. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to give gifts. Don't misunderstand me. But I want us to understand that here is that which people are talking about. It's wonderful and it's good. And there is the other side of it that really has not a whole lot to do with. You know, there is the lack of sincerity that is involved. People wishing you a Merry Christmas when they don't mean it. There's something wrong with the lack of sincerity. But I want us to focus on this part of it. Do you know how sad this time of year is, for those who no longer have families and for those who have experienced the death of loved ones this time of year? It's remarkable to look into the church record here of when did your spouse die? Do you know what month more spouses die than any other month of the year? Just in those who are here right now. Isn't that remarkable? And when you sit around a Christmas table today, when you sit having a feast today, there'll be sadness because somebody is not there. You and I need to understand that there is the sorrow of times when people cannot get together. I stand here, and I know some of you because I know your life. And people that are sitting here, and people that are sitting there, and perhaps in other places in this building right now. You had a mate. You had a child. You had some loved one. And when this time of the year comes, that's the other side of Christmas. How do you deal with that? At this time, whenever there is joy in the hearts of others, and there's not joy because my family's not going, I'm not going to be able to get together with my family right now. And especially, I'm not going to be able to get with my family because some loved one of mine has died. What do we do about that? Well, the kinds of things that we need to do about that is to accept the fact that they have died. One of the tragedies of dealing with death is a failure to accept it. That loved one is gone. Accept the reality of it. And instead of living in the past, learn to live in the present, but accept the rightness of weeping and being unhappy. Jesus wept. And so whenever at this time of the year there's unhappiness because of the death of loved ones, accept the reality of it, but understand it's not wrong. It's normal for individuals to have grief at a time like this. But what must be done at a time like this is to get involved in the lives of others. And I want to say to every member of this church, when you see a brother or sister in this congregation and there's unhappiness in them, and perhaps especially at a time like this, reach out to them. That's what our teens did last Sunday afternoon. 33 homes of widows were visited. They don't have family. Those widows do not. And there's loneliness in that home. And what a great opportunity that was. And our teens have showed us how to do it. And so this time of the year, this year and every year, we need to be mindful of each other and do whatever we can to bear one another's burdens with a realization that when we share somebody's burden, their burden is less, and we have manifested to them the very nature of Christianity. How long ago was it that your mate died? How long ago was it that that special person in your life died? Let me share with you a new way of looking at that. And that is, a widower said to me as I talked to him at the anniversary of the death of his wife. Instead of saying, "She's been dead for a year," he said, "I'm 1 year closer to seeing her again." What a difference of a way of looking at life and dealing with the time of sorrow this time of year. And what an opportunity this time of the year gives to us to be able to share in the loneliness and the loss of others. I'm glad He was born. I rejoice in the fact that He was born, but I rejoice even more in the fact that He died and that He was raised and that He's in heaven. And we have assembled today not to remember baby Jesus, but to remember the Savior in this appointed feast who died for us. And we've gathered in this part of the lesson to remind us that it's not baby Jesus, but Lord Jesus that matters. And to remind us of helping those who are carrying tremendously heavy burdens this time of the year. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word and for the all-sufficiency there's found in it. We pray, Father, that You would bless us, that we might find in You all of our sufficiency. We thank You for His birth, but we're far more mindful of His death and His resurrection and His coronation when He arrived in heaven. And may we worship Him and in our lives show to others that we are His servants, but that we're His brother and that we're Your children with Jesus as our older brother. We pray, Father, that You would use us this time of the year to manifest our love to others, to share with them the joy that we have, and to share with them the burdens of sorrows that they might have. Help us, Father, to truly be Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we come to that part of the service where we sing this song of invitation with an encouragement to make His coming meaningful in your life. He's come, but His life is without meaning unless we believe in Him. His life is without meaning until we repent, make up our minds to follow Him. His life is without meaning until we have confessed Him before men. And His life is without meaning until we are united with Him in baptism. We use the language of Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. When we do these things, we become His child, and we have a heavenly Father and an older brother who awaits us in that place at that time. And what He says to all of us is, you be faithful until you die, and I will give you the crown of life. How can we help you? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you come?